Good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here. Praise God. Praise God. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I tell you, I love it. I just love to be with other believers, you know, asking God just to move upon their heart and souls. You know, Revelation 19:16 that I read earlier this morning before church started and after praise and worship. Written upon the vesture and upon his thigh, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the name that is written upon him when he's coming back the second time. Coming, not talking about his first return, talking about the rapture of the church, talking about the second coming of Christ. When he's riding the white horse, it says in Revelations that he's going to have written upon him. And when he comes that second time, it says that we are going to be with him. And he's going to come and set his feet upon the Mount of Olivet or Mount of Olives or Olivet. And when he puts his feet, it says even the mountain is going to be split. Half's going to go to the north and half's going to go to the south. Because we are going to be with him, the power and the majesty. And when the Jewish people, because that's where he's going to come, is in Jerusalem on the Mount of Olivet, that's in that area. When he comes there, that's like a plane. Huh? When he comes there, when he comes and set his feet, that everyone, all, especially the Jewish people that have rejected Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, going to see written, here is our King and here is our Lord. For the whole world to see, for the whole world to see. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 25. Before I get into the scriptures, Genesis 25, we're going to talk about Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. You know, I was watching something and I knew it was 40 years or so, but and Andrew, I know you went to the rally yesterday for what was it called? Pro-life rally, which is for children, you know, and stuff. But, you know, it's a 40-year anniversary, sad to say, that abortion was legalized in America, which is sad to say, 40 years. And millions and millions of babies have been killed since that ruling. And, you know, and something they were talking about, it was, and last night I was watching it, just a news thing, and they were saying how millions and millions of babies have been aborted. And, you know, just on a personal basis, I don't blame so much the women. You know, I don't blame, and I don't know who to blame because there's an abortion industry out there. That's their job. They just money. And they don't care who they kill, from the youngest to the elder, to the oldest. It's sad. God gives life, and God loves life. It says, and I'm trying to read, either 13 days or 18 days from the time of conception of a child, that the heartbeat, there's a heartbeat, either 13 or 18. I don't remember which one it is. But they were saying, you know, it's 40-year anniversary of this happening in America. And they were saying how I look at this baby and it turns my heart. What's her name? Amara. How old is she? 2 months. Oh, gosh. Isn't this a cutie patootie right here? This cutie patootie. If she wouldn't have, I can hold her. Okay. If she spits up, that's okay. We get used to that stuff, you know, after a while. I'm not going to go too far. But look how cutie patootie this is, huh? Look at this. From the shoes to the, look at this. As we look at something like this and we know this is God's hand. Ooh. They say every day in the Hispanic community. Hispanics. 825 babies are aborted in the Hispanic community. Oh, she burped. Good, huh? That's good. I know that. In the black community, 1,490-something, close to 1,500 babies a day. This is a lucky one, huh? God gives life, people. And that's only two things they talked about, because they said the abortion industry has targeted minorities. Such a sad thing. Anybody. We have to stand for life as Christians, no matter what. From the youngest to the oldest. She's falling asleep. You want me to hold it while I preach? Bless. Baby. Oh, look. But we need to treasure life as Christians. 40 years and try to end this thing that has brought a stain upon our country. A stain upon it. Amen. God bless you, baby. I love you. Amen. You're blessed. Here you go. Yeah. Oh, shit. She has an earache or something?
Oh, no, I just put the
Oh, okay. We're going to pray for her. Okay, Lord. But praise God. So we need to do everything we can. And I tell you, as I was listening to it, my heart was breaking, people. I knew it was bad. But I didn't know it was that bad. I didn't know it was that bad. And so, you know, we need to do everything we can as a church, as a people. First of all, we need to ask God to forgive us, because it's our whole country. Lord, forgive us. Have mercy upon us. And asking God to end this thing however he can do it. Asking God to move in and have mercy and grace upon our hearts and upon our lives. Amen. 2 months old. Wow. Oh, Lord, she's going to break many a men's hearts. Lord, have mercy. Give mama help. Oh, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Oh, my glasses. Here we see a story or an event that happened with Jacob and Esau. Jacob and Esau. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Here we see a story or an event about Jacob and Esau. Now, Jacob and Esau were twins, and we know that. Their parents were Isaac and Rebekah. And when Rebekah was expecting the twins, you know, back then they didn't know, you know, what was happening. She just knew something wasn't right on the inside. Even in the womb, they were fighting. I mean, things were going on. And in Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, it says this, as I lay this foundation before you. It says, and the children, talking about the twins, Jacob and Esau, struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And then verse 23, it says, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. So here we see even inside the mother's womb, there was a struggling that was going on with the two twins, Jacob and Esau. And it says in verse 30, as they grew up, you know, one went one way, one went another way. The father favored one, Esau, and the mother favored Jacob. And, you know, and that's not good either. That's not good. That should not have happened. You should never favor one child over another. That's not good. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, some are more obedient than others. I understand. But that's not a good thing. That's not good. You should look at them, try to look at them equally, you know. Sometimes it's hard, but try to. And asking God to help you to give that compassion and love towards them. It says in verse 30 of that same chapter, it says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray you, with the same red pottage for I am faint. Thereof was his name called Edom. Now here we see it gets to the place. They've grown men, you know, and one comes in after hunting all day and doing all kind of stuff, Esau. And here is Jacob, you know, I don't know if it was a plot or not. But Jacob knew that Esau would come right where he was. And Jacob had that pot of stew going on. Evil in the heart of man is evil. And it said that as he came, you know, Esau said, please give me some. And Jacob said, well, I'll give you some if you sell me your birthright. Now, what Jacob did was not right. And we know God chose Jacob. God chose Jacob. And God could have worked things out in his own plan to make sure that Jacob got the blessing. But you see, sometimes as men, we try to intersect our opinion and our things into it. And it destroys what God wants to do and makes a mess of things. And Jacob made a mess even with his mother. They both made a mess of things. And Jacob gave him that bowl of stew, and Esau sold it to him for that. Now, it says later in time, that Jacob went before his father, Isaac. And his father was, his eyesight was gone. He was a very sickly man at that time, just older in age. And as he goes before him, the father thinks he's about to pray over Esau, but it's actually Jacob. And there's a whole bunch of other stuff. Puts on wool and all kind of stuff. And the father blesses Jacob, thinking it's Esau. And Esau later on runs in and says, Father, I've killed the venison, the deer. I've dressed it. I've made it. I've cooked it. And here it is. Now eat and bless me. And the father looks at him and says, I thought you came earlier. And the whole plot comes uncovered. And Esau finds out that he has been deceived by his twin brother. And let me tell you, when Esau got offended because of what happened, he made a declaration towards Jacob. And this is where I want to start right here. Look at Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. Starting with verse 34. Now Esau knew something had been, his birthright had been stolen from him. And so he declares something unto Jacob. Look at verse 34 of chapter 27. It says, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry and said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, your brother came with servility and has taken away your blessing. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Which, that's not two different things. What he said, it was truth some, but yet not all truth. It's one thing. And he said, have you not reserved a blessing for me? And Isaac answered and said unto Esau, behold, I have made him your lord. Now look, can you imagine? As Esau is standing here and his father is about to pray him, he says, look, I've made Jacob your lord. It's like a knife went through Esau. And all, as the father kept praying, that knife kept getting deeper and deeper into the heart of Esau. And a hatred was there for Jacob. Now you think that's God? There's no way. There's no way. It doesn't line up with the scriptures. It doesn't line up with the way what God can do. But when man takes control of things and he tries it his own way, it messes up everything, and he even messes up certain plans of God also. Behold, I have made him your Lord, and all his brethren have I given to him for servants. And with corn and wine have I sustained him. And what shall I do now unto you, my son? And Esau said unto his father, have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Now, and I know you're probably thinking, well, you know, Esau, didn't you sell it? That's true. But I don't really know if he really sold it. Now, if scripture says he did, he may have done it that day, but in his heart he never did. You talking about like an Indian giver? You know how they talk about that? Okay. You know what that is. No Indians in here? Okay. And Isaac his father answered and said unto him, behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and the dew of heaven from above. And by your sword shall you live, and shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you have the dominion, that you shall break his yoke from off your neck. And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, and I know we've all been there at times, huh? Sometimes we say things, and we say things from our hearts, and we mean it. The day of mourning for my father are at hand. Then will I kill my brother Jacob. Now, that's some hard words there. That's some hard words. But he vowed that day, as the mourning of his father, that means the death, when his death would come and the mourning time would cease, that he was coming after Jacob. Now, all this time, Jacob's mother, Rebekah, had already made plans, and Jacob was on his way to another land, far away. But Esau vowed in his heart that he would kill his brother. And don't you think Jacob heard of that plan? I know he did. I know he did. I know he did. We got to watch the things that we do and say. And try to be careful, because it will put a knife in the heart of a person. Now, that doesn't, you know, some people are very sensitive. And you can look at them and... And we got to make sure that we are not like that. That we can take, sometimes good criticism is good. Because sometimes we need to be corrected. We need to be corrected by God. God needs to correct things in our hearts and in our lives. That is what the Holy Spirit does. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to comfort us, to correct things in us, to correct it, to correct our anger, to correct wrong doctrine. Have you ever believed something and you found out it was wrong? I don't like that. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit will use His Word and will correct us by the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, we believe something for, and believe things after we got saved and find out that it's not truth. And we thought it was. That's hard. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit loves us enough to correct us. And we need to receive that correction because God has given it through love to help us to get on track and to stay on track. Jacob knew that he lied, he cheated, and he stole. But Jacob tried to appease his brother's anger with gifts. You know, and I heard this. I didn't come up with this. I heard it, so I cannot take credit for it. But I love it. It says, the greatest victories are victories won over us. The greatest victories are victories that are won over us. The greatest victories, we can read about great victories in battle and all over the place, but the greatest victories are victories that are won over us. When God grants a victory over us, you know, like something you have been struggling with or I've been struggling with, and we go to God and we pray and we ask God to help us and we ask God to give us wisdom and we ask God to move upon our lives. We dedicate our lives to Him. We have faith in Him. We trust in Him. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God just starts to move upon our hearts, move in our lives, and something happens on the inside. Inside. See, victory, we may be struggling with things. And I can name all kind of things. And you know, who will it help? We all know what they are. But we may be struggling with all kinds of things. But unless victory comes first on the inside, there is no victory on the outside. Unless there's victory on the inside, there's no victory on the outside. So what do we strive to do? We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what He did at Calvary's cross. When we put our faith in Him, when we say, Lord, there's nothing else. Lord, I will not put my faith and trust in a person, a thing, an organization, or anything else that I can do. But I will put my faith and trust in You and You alone. The Holy Spirit's power and presence is unleashed upon us. The Holy Spirit's power and presence is leashed out upon us. That means it's not your problem anymore, but it's the Holy Spirit's. And let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit takes control of things, you might say, well, does it happen immediately? It may. But it may be also gradually, where the power and the presence of God is working and working and working in us to change our hearts, to change our lives, that we keep our faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And as we do that, the Holy Spirit strengthens us on the inside and helps us to be overcomers. And we walk out of that situation knowing that I had nothing to do with it. But that it's all Him. And Him alone. Our greatest victories are victories won over us. Jacob, years later, was coming back to his homeland. And he knew, he got wind, that Esau was coming. It seems like, in general, the whole Christian community, unless there's a severe problem that affects us, that we really don't get down to praying. Jacob had a scenario going on. And for all these years, he lived as a deceiver. His name means deceiver, Jacob. That's what it means. And it says that he knew that he was coming back to his homeland with many servants, wives, servants, cattle. I mean, as far as in the natural, very, very wealthy, but poor in spirit inside, because he knew that something had to happen. And it says that he took it in his own hands, because the father never told him to do this, to send gifts to his brother. What he was trying to do was appease him. He'd send him cattle, he'd send him sheep, he'd send him this, he'd send him all before trying to appease the anger, trying to appease that anger that was inside of Esau. And he finally realized that, you know what? What I'm doing is not working. I don't know how he came to the realization, but I'm sure as maybe the servants would go forth and bring these things and they'd give it to Esau, and maybe they'd see the countenance on Esau's face and his body language, they knew that his anger was still very angry at Jacob. And so that would get word back to his brother. And they'd come in, and probably Jacob would go to the people that brought these gifts and say, how did he look? What did he say? What did he do? And they'd have to give him a bad report. Now, God could have changed the heart of Esau back with all these gifts. But we have to remember, we can't expect God's results with man's thinking and doing. We can only expect God's results when we do it God's way. Let me say it again. We can only expect the results that God tells us and what will happen when we do it God's way. Now, I want to pick up the story. Look at chapter 32 of Genesis. A desperate Jacob. But you know what? Desperation leads to the moving of God and changing our hearts and the hearts of the people we may be praying for. It says this in verse 22 of chapter 32. Going down there. It says, and he rose up that night, talking about Jacob, and took his two wives. Now you might, I don't want you to think that you can have more than one wife. God allowed it because of the hardening of their hearts. He never said to do that. If he would have, he would have made Adam and two Eves. He only made one. Women, you need to say, thank you, Lord. And he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them, his family, and sent them over the brook, and he sent over all that he had. Now, look at this. He got to the place where he knew what he was doing was not appeasing the anger of his brother. So he gets to this river, and he sends over his wives, his women servants, everything he possessed, everything he owned over the brook. And Jacob stays on this side of the brook with nothing but himself and what he had on. He was desperate, people. Desperation leads us to our knees with God. How desperate are we for a move of God? How desperate are we that God would move upon our families and friends and upon the community? How desperate are we for it? He was desperate because he knew the coming together was soon. And it says, and Jacob, verse 24, was left alone. A place where God wanted him to be. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. And he said unto him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, which means what? Prince of God. For as a prince have you power with God and with men, and have prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray you, your name. And he said, wherefore it is that you do ask after my name. And he blessed him in there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, which means face of God. For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinews which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh until this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinews that shrank. Now here we see Jacob desperate for the Lord, God alone. He doesn't say if he prayed something or whatever, but he got alone. His wives, his women servants, all his cattle, everything he possessed was on the other side of the brook. And he was on this side. And God in his mercy saw the heart of Jacob. God in his mercy sees the heart of his servants here too. And in seeing his heart, it says the angel, God, Elohim, the mighty one, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, came. And it says they wrestled. Now, it wasn't a wrestling match. That's not what it was. But the presence of God, him being there with Jacob. And they communed. And it says that Jacob saw God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, face to face, and did not die. And as Jacob was there with God, God knew what Jacob was thinking. God knew what Jacob was doing. He knew what Jacob needed. And it says that he answered his prayer. Because in the latter part of the scripture, it says, verse 26, and he said, talking about the Lord, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. Jacob was looking for God to pray with him, to bless him. Before he sent all those gifts, he didn't go to God. He didn't ask God to bless it. He didn't ask God to go before him. He did it on his own. Now he's gotten to the place where he said, Lord, no matter what happens, I need you. I need you to bless me. He looked to God. He looked to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. People, we need to keep our eyes upon him and him alone. Doesn't matter what's going on in the world anymore. It doesn't matter what's going on. We know it's disaster. It's disaster. But I tell you what, we keep our eyes upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will sustain us. He will get us through no matter what's coming or what will not come. Well, who knows? But we keep our eyes upon him, the blessed one, the one that can provide for us. You might say, well, what about food? Well, God can supply food. Look at the little lady with the oil and the cornmeal. My God. Anyway, most of us have so much food in our house that it could sustain us for a couple of years. We have it stored up everywhere. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, you have to have that ice cream. You want to make sure you have it so at 9 o'clock at night you can go get yourself. You know, okay, that's okay. But our faith and trust has to be in Him and what He can do, people, and how He can go before us. Jacob's life was changed. God changed him from being a deceiver at heart to being a prince of God. And yes, he was touched. The hollow, the thigh part was hit by God, touched him. But I tell you what, isn't it better to walk with a limp or so and know God and be blessed of God than have everything you ever wanted and you not obeying God? God is in the business of helping His people live a life that is pleasing unto Him and Him alone. That they will lift Him up. They will not lift the things of this world up or even lift up themselves. That's what religion does. Lifts up the people. But God is looking for a people that will lift Him up. That will praise Him. That will honor Him. Not that they're perfect. Look, nobody's perfect. There's only been one perfect man that lived upon this earth, and His name is Jesus, the Son of the living God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. No one else is perfect. But I tell you what, we have a King that lives on the inside of us that is perfect, that can take control of things in our hearts and in our lives and tame those things and change our hearts and change our lives. That's the kind of God we serve. A miracle working God that can change us and make us into what we need to be. See, I don't have to clean myself up. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict me and clean me up and help me to be that overcomer. To be the overcomer that that Revelations talks about. To overcome those things in our hearts and lives that we need to by the power and the presence of God. And we know when they met, when Esau and Jacob met, it was a glorious day. They kissed each other on the cheeks. I often wonder, that night God changed the heart of Jacob. But that night, God changed the heart of Esau. It says to pray for your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you. Look, I tell you what, some enemies I'd want to... I don't have to explain too much, huh? Do a few things to them. But God says, pray for them. And you say, okay, Lord. Because you see, the Father knows as we pray for them. And we go to God and we lift up and we say their name and we pray for them. And it might take every ounce of faith you have to even say their name. But you call out their name and you say, Lord, do something. Then you can say under your breath, Lord, you want me to handle it? But you keep going to Him. And as you go before Him, God, the Holy Spirit comes. And He starts to put a love in your heart for them. And it's like, wow. You see them somewheres and no anger rises up. Because let me give you a little tidbit of maybe a little bit of wisdom. If you ever have a harsh comment or something about somebody, check your heart. Something's not right in here. You're not totally backslid. That's no. But something's not right. You go to God and you say, Lord, forgive me. And you ask Him to heal your heart. And you pray for your enemy. That doesn't mean you have to ever trust them again. No. Trust is not the answer. Forgiveness is the answer. Just think as Jesus was on the cross in the middle. We have one guy on this side, the other guy on this side, and this guy's just cursing Jesus, telling him all kind of evil. This guy may have done that too, some. Then finally he comes to the realization that he's the king in the middle. And he turns to the king and he says, King, remember me in paradise. Remember me. What he was saying is, forgive me, I'm sorry. And he knew these two thieves, and they knew they deserved being there. They deserved it. They deserved to be on that cross. They deserved to die. That's truth. They've done wrong. They've done evil. And so the penalty of what they've done wrong, they had to pay for. Jesus in the middle did nothing wrong. And Jesus looks in him and says, I'll see you in paradise. Jesus forgave him. Forgave him. Forgave him. We have to forgive people. We have to let the Holy Spirit work and forgive us. You know, it's not easy. It's not easy. But as we get closer and closer to our God, He starts to lighten up things in us. And we start to see things that we never saw before that are in us. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. Because, you know, when we first got saved, I mean, you know, we asked God to forgive us and, you know, we thought we arrived. We made it. That's it right there. Then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just starts to work. And we find out that there's more in us that's not correct and good that God has to work on. And that's okay. That's what the Holy Spirit's job is. To correct wrong thinking. To correct evil in our hearts. To correct anger and bitterness and strife. And the thing is, when we overcome something, God takes up another issue. And we just want to say, Lord, leave me alone a little while. Leave me alone. Let me get over this and let me kind of bask in the glory of, thank you, Lord, I've overcome this thing by your presence. But God says, no, take up this next issue. Take up this next issue. See, He is the light of the world. And as we get closer to the light of the world, that light shines on us. And as we get closer to that light, the Lord reveals things to us and helps us to see it. See, Jacob didn't realize what was in his heart till it came time to almost meeting his brother. He knew there was some things, but he probably said, oh, I'm okay. But the light of the gospel shines upon us to reveal things. You know, there was a centurion in Matthew. He was over like 100 or so people, men. He wasn't Jewish. That means he was Gentile. He saw Jesus. And he came to him and he said, Lord, my servant is sick and needs a touch from you. And what he was doing was begging, because he knew there was nothing that the doctors could do. He knew there was no medicine that could heal his servant. And Jesus said, well, I'm going to go to your house. And the centurion looks at him and says, Lord, you can't come to my house. Because he was thinking probably, I'm not Jewish, I'm Gentile. And that didn't mix at all. And the man looked at Jesus and said, Lord, at your word, he shall be healed. And what did Jesus say? I have not seen such faith as in this man. And at your word, he's healed. And the centurion took off. And while he was going home, someone came to him and said, look, he's healed. He's okay. faith in our God, in what He can do, people. As Jacob got with God, I'm about to close. As Jacob got with God, God met with him and changed the situation. As we meet with God and our faith rises up, like the centurion guy, soldier, the faith rises up for us to believe, Lord, move. Lord, save. Lord, help me. Lord, I put my faith in you. God will never turn away one single person if they're looking towards Him for help. No one. He could have turned this centurion away because he wasn't Jewish. But he didn't. Because when he died on the cross, it says, it is finished. And he died for every race of people, no matter who they are. Man, woman, child, elderly, young, no matter what. And all we got to do is put our faith in Him and let Him build our faith. Let Him work in us. Let Him check things out in us and heal our hearts. Let the presence of the living God come in and heal. Because let me tell you this. There are many, many people walking around with so many hurts, Christians, that are wounded and have been stabbed and hurt on the inside. And only the presence of God. No man-made thing can heal my heart or your heart. Man has tried. Man has charged man $150 an hour to sit on a couch and listen. Has it gone up? Might be $200. Who knows? I don't know. But I tell you what. When we get before God and He comes in that room or wherever we are and we just call out His name and He comes in by His presence and starts to work in us and heal these things in our hearts and in our lives. Praise God. The only thing He looks for is us to lift Him up and declare Him King of kings and Lord of lords upon the earth, calling out that He is the King, that He is the Lord, that He is God, that He is the Savior, that He is Elohim, that He is the one that goes before us and makes the crooked places straight. He is the one that gives us wisdom. He is the one that gives us guidance. He is the God of gods, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords. Praise your God. Hallelujah for the King of kings. He is that kind of God that goes before us and works things out, people. Amen. 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 Why don't you stand, please? Jesus. Father, we give you praise, Lord. Jesus, we give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just welcome your presence into this place. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, let that prayer language come forth. Just worship your God this morning. Praise and glory and honor unto you, my Lord. Praise you, Father. We give you praise and honor. Father, Lord, I just pray healing, Father, for your people. Lord God, touch the hearts of your people. Heal their bodies. Heal their bodies in Jesus' name. Raise up a mighty army of believers, Lord God, that will stand for you no matter what, Lord God, that will have the tenacity to stand and will not back down in Jesus' name. Father, Lord, the power of your Spirit to rest upon their lives, Lord God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we worship you. Father, we praise you. Father, we honor you. Jesus, Jesus, as your heads are bowed just for a minute, as you can continue to worship him, that's fine. If you need prayer this morning, or if you would like prayer this morning, for your own personal self or for someone in your family, would you please raise your hand? Amen. I see anyone else. I see a hand back there. Back there, one, two. Anyone else? Three, okay. Anyone else? Four, okay. Anyone else? Five, I see your hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? Amen. Now, I'm going to ask you, if you raised your hand, raise your hand again so I can keep it up. Keep it up. Amen. 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 Okay, there's some people in the back. If you would just come in and lay hands on these people here. Look, this lady right here needs prayer. Ask her what they need prayer for. Okay, yeah. Miss Mona, you need prayer this morning? I see your hand up. I just want to make sure. You need prayer this morning? Yeah, she needs prayer this morning. Would someone go pray for her? Does everybody? I want to make sure. Find out what they want to pray for and pray with them, okay? Father, meet the needs of the house, Lord. Meet the needs of the house in Jesus' name. Pour out your spirit in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch that. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch that situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father, touch that situation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, touch. In the name of Jesus. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Father, touch in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Ikara Basura de Masatara de Bakura de Mishita la Rada, Ikara Basura de Masatara de Bakusa Kennedy de Bekila Kaya Kaya Kaya, Ura de Masura de Masatara de Bakura Masatara de Bikidi de Kidi, Ikara Basura de Masatara la Bakura de Masatara de Bakura de Masatara de Kila la Bakura de Masatara de Bakura. Touch, Lord God, touch, Father, touch in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ura masotara la makura masatara la vakura masatara di 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 di. Ura masatara vakura masatara la vakusa di 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 di. Ura masatara la makura masatara. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Touch. Touch the hearts of your people, Lord. Touch the hearts of your people, Lord. Father, touch the hearts of your people in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ikara masura la masatara la makura makura. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Father, we give you praise and honor. We give you praise and honor. I want to ask you an important question. Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Amen. If you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you'd like to accept him as your Lord and Savior today, would you please raise your hand so we can pray with you? Remember, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. That's the only door. The only door. Not one of many, the only door. The blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord God, this day. Lord God, we thank you for your people, Lord God. I thank you for the anointing of your people. Father, I pray that you would protect them this week, that you would help them this week, that your anointing would be upon their lives, Lord God, that you would work in their hearts and lives, Lord. move within their lives. Help them at work, Lord God, in their homes. And Father, I come against any attacks of the enemy, Lord God. Father, Lord, as he goes before you and calls out the name of this church or whoever, people, that, Father, you would deny him access, Lord God. Because, Lord, we know that he just wants to sift us like wheat, Lord God. But, Father, you would deny him because, Lord, you are our God and you are in control, Father. And, Lord God, we pray that you would protect us, lead us, and guide us and be with us this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Look, Jelaine and I, we love you. We think you're the greatest. And I just pray you have a great week this week. Amen. God bless you. Have a good day. Amen.